Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth, and it's Friday. And we are going to do our usual free-flowing, free-form, whatever the universe wants to give us kind of Friday. So today, there's nobody here, so you guys got to listen to me. I had a few things planned, but I just had a magical experience with a lovely healer here in town, and she just kind of spoke to a thing, to something that I'm kind of witnessing in a lot of people right now. Whether you're conscious of it or not, there are major shifts going on. There's always major shifts, as far as my husband is concerned. There are always major shifts going on. But I think possibly what is changing is our awareness of the shift and our willingness to go along with it instead of resist it. Because I think a lot of people, because of our culture, because of the way we were brought up, we are taught to fight change, to try to control change, and on some level resist change, not understanding that the only thing consistent is change. So anyway, this lady was talking about how she's been a massage therapist for 30 years, and she's feeling called to do travel and to take her work places. And it brought to my mind an old Salish prophecy, or Sisiwis prophecy, that a storyteller taught us, and it's how there would be a time when healers would be called to take their medicine to different places. And I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing, you know, I think we define medicine as, actually the medicine, like pills and doctoring and stuff like that, and even like massage or reflexology or Reiki. However, I think sometimes one of the ways we take our medicine to different places is our medicine is who we are. It is our ancestors that support us. It is our crystal beings that support us. It is the energy that we bring to this planet from other places, possibly other galaxies, other universes. And we bring that energy and that support, and we take it someplace. And through just our presence and our openness and our love and our compassion for humans and animals and the earth, that we create a shift, that we shift the world and we heal ourselves and the world just through being present. So anyway, that's kind of what I was witnessing from that woman, and it just made me think about, now, you know, I am a Sag, and if you've been listening to my show, I'm sort of obsessing about this whole Sag thing and the ability that Sages have to see what others can't see, to see the world that we're moving to, and in spite of the muck and the yuck, we see what's coming and we're excited, and in fact we get chaotic joy because we're so excited about what's coming that we probably drive other people crazy who get stuck in the muck. So anyway, that was kind of a little interesting way to start my day. Also, I wanted to just talk really briefly about some of the stuff that's happening here at the store. We are doing a bustling business. Well, it's not always business, but we're getting lots of people in, asking questions, seeking knowledge, seeking awakening and awareness of who they are and why they're here. A lot of people are saying, you know, I know I'm here to do some really cool things. I just can't remember what I'm here to do. So we support them by giving them stones and guidance if it comes to us, or we just hold space for them to find it themselves. So the store is active in its ability to shine the light out there and support people in remembering who they are. We also have some classes going on tomorrow at 9 a.m. I am teaching my sacred body posture class. I haven't taught it in a while. I taught it during the eclipse season, and then I felt like I needed to take a break. And we are going to do it tomorrow because it feels like there's a lot of things happening in the cosmos that I think people need support with. I think there's some stuff going on astrologically and possibly on levels that I'm not even consciously aware of yet. I combine in my posture class, I combine five element theory. So like, for example, we're just coming to the end of the wood element season. According to the work that I've studied, we are in the wood element, which is the liver gallbladder energy. We're in that energy from about a week after the spring equinox to about a week before the solstice. And then we move back into the earth element. And the earth element, which rules the stomach and spleen meridians, is about integrating and grounding the lessons that we've had over the last 3 months, as well as come back and tune in to whether or not we're in integrity. Are we currently in alignment with our thoughts, words, and actions? Are all of those in alignment and in resonance, and are we moving in the world from that place? If we're not, we are in, we're out of integrity. You could even say that we are lying. And so when people are out of integrity, we sometimes feel like we can't trust them. So that's kind of what we get to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. And guess who's here? My friend Jen. On the radio, Jen. So I was just talking about my sacred body posture class, and I'm teaching tomorrow because I feel like some big things are up right now. Mercury is moving forward today. It was stationed direct and it was beginning to move forward yesterday. So it's in Gemini, so now theoretically we've gone back to the analytical part of our mind. I should let somebody who has some Gemini in their chart tell me how they're feeling today versus how they were feeling. Are you?
I'm feeling a lot better today than I was the last couple, or the last, like, you know, week or a few weeks. So I just feel clearer today and more motivated.
Which that would make sense because Mercury being retrograde, we're in the right side of our brain, intuitive, floaty, kind of. But also there's one astrologer says that we're in the underworld. So we get to see kind of shadows. We get to see our demons. We get to see the parts of ourselves that are holding us back. And then we get to come back when Mercury goes forward to tap into that lightning quick mind of the Gemini. You know, we all have Gemini in our chart. It's just, you know, if you have planets in there, it's probably a little more impactful. So the other thing I've been thinking a lot about is Neptune going retrograde. Neptune goes retrograde tomorrow. And I keep thinking of that hopey prophecy that says there will be a time when we will not know whether we're dreaming or awake. And again, this is just the world according to Velvet. I think Neptune goes retrograde. It's even more dreamy. It's in Pisces right now. Dreamy enough. Even more dreamy. And I get the sense, too, that it's more, you know, there's the fish swimming both ways. There's the fish that's down in the muck, and then there's the fish that's connected to heaven. The potential is to, with Neptune in Pisces, is to bring the light that we, and the light of spirit and the connection to spirit, and bring it down into the muck. To, again, maybe focus on our shadows or our Neptune coping mechanisms, which could be codependency, it could be drugs and alcoholism and addiction. It could also be being crazy. Is being crazy a coping mechanism? It very well could be. because one of the things I just happened to listen just to a little bit to this conversation between, I don't remember the name, so I'm not a very good reporter, but they were talking about when we go through an awakening, right, and we get to a certain level, every time you kind of jump a level, then you get to a new level of demons or a new level of shadows. And what if we aren't clear, you know, we project that stuff outside of ourselves and we think we're seeing demons. I mean, literally, we see like demons and stuff outside of ourselves. And the idea is if you don't have any support and you know what's going on, the potential is psychosis, which is could be very Neptunian, right? And so I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't more mental breaks over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. What do you think about this whole like cop thing that's kind of coming up and with Neptune? Like, how would you relate, like, a lot of police brutality is either being more reported or it's happened the whole time if you don't have cell phones. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, there's this clash between authority and I was going to do a post on it, so I'm curious about what you think about how that just not to
Well, and, you know, there's a couple things that jump to mind. So, demons jump to mind, whether it's the demons of the police, the demons of who they're attacking. It also, you know, because if there's so much chaos right now and we don't have any tools to deal with it and we don't understand what's happening, we're going to be projecting our stuff out, okay? The other thing I keep thinking of, and I think Yogi Bhajan talked a lot about the Piscean Age. I think that authority stuff is total Piscean Age baloney, right? It's one of the corruptions of the Piscean Age. And so what if it, you know, it's darkest before the dawn? I think a lot of policemen, and again, this is the world according to Velvet, but I've heard and I understand that a lot of policemen were military. And a lot of the military have PTSD. Whether they have PTSD from the trauma that they witnessed or experienced on the front, I think there's also trauma because a lot of them have been broken by the system. And, you know, I think a lot of the people that the police are fighting against, you might say, are these young potential warrior men. Maybe not without their own demons, right? See, that's the whole thing. If Pisces is very tied into the collective, Pisces is totally about being psychic, right? So what I'm seeing is I'm seeing the demons that are of the police and the demons that are of people who've lived in poverty or been oppressed or suppressed or abused, whatever, everybody's got their stories. It's like, these demons are rising, right? And are they archons like some of the other belief systems say that they are literally entities attached to people who have had their fields traumatized? I feel like there's this big war going on, and it's in our psyche, and we're manifesting it in the world.
So how does, like, Neptune, well, I guess that's from Neptune, and that's what Saturn's going into Scorpio, and then what else is happening?
Well, I think Saturn going into Scorpio is huge. I've been thinking a lot about Pluto and Scorpio generation, and I've been thinking a lot about the generation, well, it's like a part of a generation that has Saturn in Scorpio. You know, because Scorpio is, it's the dark, it's the Scorpio energy has the ability to go into the darkness and not be chewed up. Saturn would show us, if you have Saturn in Scorpio, you have some trauma or karma that either you got stuck in the darkness, or you misuse the darkness, you misuse creativity, you misuse your sexuality, you misuse your power, or that part of you is oppressed. So collectively, I think the Saturn and Scorpio generation is, or sub-generation, there's big stuff stirring. And, you know, if you think about it, that they're like the Saturn in Scorpio people also have Pluto in Scorpio, and they're early. They're like, they're a sort of way shower. They're going to be leaders. They're going to be the ones who burn the system down or heal it or create a new one, right? So I think that generation is really under pressure right now. And I think any time, everything I've read about the astrology, any time Saturn is in Scorpio, the whole, we see the darkness. We feel the darkness. The question is, do we run from it? Do we oppress it? Or do we stand and face it? Neptune retrograde could allow us to understand it's like the Matrix movie, right? Because it's just a dream. This whole reality, theoretically, is a dream that we give power to. We can see all the flaws in the system and begin dreaming a new dream. I've kind of been obsessed with the whole dreaming concept, and that's very Pisces. I have my sun in Neptune. My sun, my moon, my Chiron, my Jupiter, all in Pisces, and Neptune is sitting right on my moon and my Chiron, and I really think that this whole notion that the indigenous people have about dreaming the world and working in the dream time to affect the physical time, I think that's really powerful. The thing is, if you realize, is the dream time the same thing as the astral realm?
I don't know. Or subconscious.
Okay.
Or your subconscious.
And so it's that whole thing is like, if this reality is like a dream, like a lucid dream, we can affect the dream. We can affect the reality. And with all that Scorpio energy, with Saturn moving back into Scorpio, people are either literally going to be seeing demons and shadows and darkness, or they're going to be thinking they're seeing it. The paranoia, I think paranoia could be very possible, because here's the other really interesting thing. Scorpio rules the kidney meridian. The kidney meridian is where we have, the bladder, the kidney, the water element, is where we have access. But if our adrenals separate from our kidneys, we aren't accessing the wisdom, and we're just in survival and fear. Saturn in Scorpio, those people have great potential to either physically manifest kidney issues and or get frozen in fear and paranoia. And then you add in things like marijuana, which is known for increasing paranoia. And I don't know, this is just the world according to Velvet. In some ways, I think marijuana is a very scorpionic teacher, because it stimulates those base survival things that can be very Scorpio. You know, it's our sex, it's drive sex, like food, you know, the whole munchy thing, fear, I mean, paranoia. So I don't know. I think there's a whole generation of people that are on marijuana or smoking marijuana. Plus, the other thing about marijuana is, okay, like, you guys are here to be bringing this light into the darkness. That means you're trying to bring light into density, okay? What marijuana does is it fries your nervous system. When your nervous system is fried, you short out. Mental? I like mental breaks, possibly. Physical breaks? And you can't hold the light. Then in Kundalini Yoga, there's a I don't know what you want to call it. Yogi Bhajan said, because there's going to be so much light coming to the planet and so much stress that would keep us from holding the light. Plus, I think not only another thing with light is all the Wi-Fi stuff in the air. It's electrical, okay? He said there would be so much energy trying to come into our bodies that we won't be able to hold it. And he said that cold depression would become an epidemic. And it's not the traditional depression. It is more, it's really tied to apathy. It's tied to hopelessness. It's tied to not being able to take any action, not being able to move forward. And so he said it would become an epidemic. So the other thing, I'm popping around here a bit, but with all of those things, plus you add solar flares, you add coronal mass ejections, these are all electrical energy. It's all fire energy. It's all yang energy. And how many people do you see who are wearing white? That reflects. How many people are you seeing wearing this yang energy? There is going to be way too much yang energy trying to come into our field. And in the Bible, they talk about 666, right? There was a woman who, she wrote the, Margaret Starbert, she wrote the books, The Woman with the Alabaster Jar, and she said 666 means unmitigated yang masculine energy. So in other words, there is too much yang, too much fire energy, and no yin, no water, no magnetism to hold it.
But if there's too much yang, then why would cold depression be a thing? Because wouldn't the yang be like, let's take action, any action, any action, keep taking action, keep taking action. So why would cold depression be a thing if there's too much yang energy?
The yang energy, so the theory is that this energy on some level, all of it, is being made available for us to use, okay? But because our nervous system can't hold it, it's sort of like, so you get a nerve impulse to take action, but you have a synapse collapse, and or you can't remember what you were going to do. You know, so like when you're smoking, I'm going to go to smoke pot. I never inhaled, but get all these great ideas, but then you either you can't remember them or you're just too lazy to do anything about it. So I don't know why he calls it cold depression, exactly, but it's too much yang energy is what it feels like to me, and. Well, your yin is depressed. Your feminine is depressed. Okay? And if we depress our feminine, whether it's our receptivity, we're depressing our ability to receive the light. We're depressing our ability to feel. There's all these. Okay, so the yin is magnetic. And if we don't have the magnetism, I think magnetism, it's like the void, right? It can hold the light. Let's say maybe we're probably magnesium deficiency too, which is probably a yin deficiency.
So then what I'm hearing you say is we just need to become balanced,
yeah.
Which Gemini would be like a good time to do that.
Right. For Gemini, you know, what I know about Geminis is, you know, it rules the mind. It's a lot of mental energy. But they're balanced out with the Sag, right? That's the theory, is that you balance out with the Sag. So the Sag is the horse dude. Sagittarians are very physical. So in Kundalini Yoga, I think that's one of the powerful things about Kundalini Yoga is it takes all of that mental energy and you work it. You work the mental energy through the physical so that there's a stillness in your mind. So I think being very physical is really good. And I think where Pluto is right now, it's on the Sabian symbol that is related to how important physical movement and physical activity. Conscious physical activity is very important right now. So being outside, being physical, Kundalini yoga. You know, Sag is kind of a team sport kind of guy, or the I person. So learning to work as a team. And you know, the thing about sports, I was never very good because I was pretty spastic, but kind of the more I think about Sagittarians, if they're team players, you have to be really present, and you have to know, you have to think about, I play basketball, right? And so when you're bringing that court ball down the court, you're looking at the whole thing. You're looking at the whole picture, which is kind of is a very Sagittarian thing. You're looking at the whole picture, and as a Sag, they're seeing where the player's going to be. So as a Sag and a team player, doing physical sports that are fast moving will help you hone your powers of foresight, all right? Because being a team player means I see you, I see what you're good at, and I see where you're going to move, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to support you in getting where you need to be to make the play you need to make. Geminis have the ability to see the gray. Okay? Sagittarius can be dogmatic. What we need right now in our world is the ability to see how these things that have become polarized, male, female, conservative, Republican, heaven and hell, darkness and light, you know, what are the other polarities? The Gemini can see the gift in both. And that's the gift that the Geminis are bringing. And the other thing I really like about Geminis, they never grow up. They have a lot of that joyful energy of the Sag. I don't think it's as chaotic as the Sag. I don't know why. The other thing that a wise friend of mine told me is that Geminis are the ultimate alchemists. They have the ability to bring these great ideas and bring them into earth. What do you know about Gemini?
Not a lot.
Why gave it away? She's the one who told me.
I heard that from a very wise friend of mine.
Well, you know, the stone for Geminis is snowflake obsidian, right? And what I know about obsidian is that it's very grounding. Okay, and the white, so snowflake has black and white. Again, it's the duality, but not the polarity. As I mean, people get all weird about what those two words mean. We live in a duality universe. We live in a yin-yang universe. However, when you look at that symbol in Chinese medicine, I forget what they call it, the energy is always flowing from the light to the dark. There's a constant flow. And within the light is the dark, and within the dark is the light. I think that is the ultimate Gemini expression. It's also, if you add the thing, what happens is humans, because of fear, we get stuck in moving from darkness to light. So that means we are afraid to go from magnetic to electric, from introverted to extroverted. We're afraid to take ourselves out there. We're also afraid to go from the light into the darkness. We have been taught that dark is evil. Dark is magnetic. Dark is yin. Dark is feminine. We need to stop being afraid of that. You know, that the dark is terrible. No, the pineal, which allows us to connect to Creator and see all. All right, we've gone over. I was on a roll. Anyway, did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Velvet and Jen reporting live from planet Earth. Over and out.